Iowa Soybean Association is driven to deliver for Iowa's 40,000 soybean farmers. We're proud to provide objective agronomic research, a helping hand with soil and water stewardship, and timely industry news powered by the Soybean Checkoff. Learn more at iasoybeans.com.
Hey everybody, I'm Paul Yeager. This is the MTOM Show podcast, a production of Iowa PBS and the Market to Market TV show. I am super excited and geeking out just a tiny little bit. I love discussions about the economy and renewable fuels, but we're getting science fiction in today. I mean, seriously, we're talking about futuristic autonomous tractors. Electric autonomous tractors. A new machine just came to the University of Missouri in Columbia. And we are going to talk to one of the lead researchers on this project. His name is Dr. Jianfeng Zhu, and he is a professor there at University of Missouri. And we're going to have a little bit of a philosophy discussion about the industry as a whole. Then we're going to get a tour of this machine and smile because we're going to be on camera. So if you're watching this on YouTube, bear with us just a little bit on some of the tour. If you're listening, you're going to want to watch it. I'm sorry. You're just going to want to see this thing. We don't put it into action. We're in the lab right now today when we have this, but it's a great looking thing. We're going to talk about precision and sustainable agriculture and just kind of where we're headed in the next 5 to 10 years. If you have any email for me or the program, send it to me at paul.yeager@iowapbs.org. If you have any ideas for what we should get into next or where we should look, that's what I'd like to hear. And I enjoy it, and it really means a lot when you share or tell a friend that you've watched this episode of the MTOM Show podcast. New episodes each and every Tuesday. Now, let's get to class. This is just a beautiful morning to be in the lab, right? I mean, these are the days you enjoy your job instead of being inside. Is that right?
That's correct.
So you're at the Missouri University of Missouri campus. Your background, though, is your undergrad was in China. You have a degree from Washington State. What are you more of an agriculture background, engineering background? What is it there, doctor?
Yeah, so my background is called agricultural engineering. So basically it's combined agronomy and engineering. So that's an applied degree.
When you grew up, what was the dream? Was it to work on a tractor that operates not with a human?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like a movie when I was grew up, you know, when I was young. I can see how farmers, you know, doing the hard job in field, you know, they start very early morning to the very late night, you know, cannot leave their field. And I really wish we have some robot can help on a farm so they can release the family member to enjoy a dinner time, for example.
Right. We'll get into the benefits of this machine here in a moment. Your study has been agriculture engineering. So that is trying to make an item better, trying to evolve the technology. And technology is really at the center of engineering, right?
That's correct. So yeah, that's my whole career goal, is trying to develop a new technology to improve the agriculture production, improve efficiency, make it more sustainable. And also, you know, a professor here to teach the course related to this.
So was your thought always to be in the academic side, or did you have sights on more of the professional business side?
So I'm more academic side. So my whole life, part of my whole life, is spending on campus. I never left the campus. So work with students, other researchers, you know, work with stakeholders. But, you know, my background is really, really to academic.
Campus life is your life. Some people just never leave college, and that would be you.
That's right.
So what's your course load like this fall? What are you teaching?
So currently I'm teaching two courses. One course is called Internet of Things for Agriculture. You know, basically teach students how internet can help farming, we move everything use online, use smartphone, you know, web apps. And now, of course, I'm teaching students to the capstone project. So my students all enjoy using this new tractor to compare with a diesel tractor, how they can work better, how they can fit the two different cropping system. That's the two courses I'm teaching. But in spring, I also teach another course called Sensors and Control Technology for Agriculture. I let students went over all the sensor system on the modern machinery, how they make the farming better, performs better.
So the sensors, that's key in this autonomous world, right? You have to be able to know where things are at to tell the machine where to go. Is that my, that's a very gross generalization of what it is that you're teaching, yeah. Right?
Yeah, sensor is the center of, we call it the digital age of farming, digital agriculture. So sensor is a device can digitize all the information, you know, to sense all kind of environment, make the machine perform better.
Do you anticipate that technology in agriculture is going to benefit more farming in the United States, farming in Brazil, the world? Where do you see technology benefiting a farmer the most?
Yes, the technology evolving very quickly. It will benefit the whole world for sure. U.S. for sure will benefit the most because, you know, we have more land and we have less farmers in the field. So we need the technology to assist this work to, you know, reduce the labor load, working load, and, you know, to make it more sustainable. How to convert from, like, you know, the traditional agriculture, for example, diesel-based, they have, you know, the greenhouse gas emission, how they can convert to green energy, contribute to the emission of climate change.
If I put a gas engine in front of you, a diesel engine, would you know what to do with it? I wouldn't.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good question. Yeah.
So this technology you talked about in the very beginning of our chat, allowing the farmer to have a meal with their family. I mean, is autonomy really going to allow us to just walk away from the machine, turn it loose, and come back in an hour?
Okay, that's a good question. So technology side, yes. You know, if you think about the autonomous cars, you know, there's no drivers, they can drive on the road. You know, it's similar thing will happen in agriculture. But we need one more step, you know, to work with the government, getting more the regulation, how this can be working field autonomously. But yes, so in the near future, we can see there's more autonomous system, if not of tractor driving itself, but they will have other system will working autonomously. Like they can just do the irrigation without any bother there. You know, we anticipate there's potential all the farm machine can run in autonomously, but we need a lot of to do to make that happen. But yes, I believe that's our future.
When you say we need a lot to make it happen, is it on the, we need broadband internet, we need access to a satellite, we need better technology? Where do you see that we need the quickest improvement to get us where we're going?
Okay, yeah, you mentioned a good point. You know, the broadband is one of the challenges right now. We are lacking of some coverage in the rural area, especially on farms. So, you know, I know that the nation is invest a lot of money to improve the coverage. It will solve soon. And the big challenge I'm involved, looking for this autonomous system is, you know, the real reliability of the machine. We need more driving tests because this is the new machine. There's they don't have enough running experience how to operate this. So that's one of my research is working with students, to test this in a smart farm and figure out a better protocol how to operate this autonomously.
Well, I think of the farmers that I've ridden with that have, they sit in the cab, they hit the button, and we go down the row. And I think from a safety perspective, I think I feel better knowing that there is an operator within an arm's reach to grab that wheel if need be. Why do we need to get away from that?
Okay. So... that's a good question. So you think about you still need one driver, especially you're driving the machinery, you have one person operate it. In a lot of case, you can spend more time working on other important stuff, like you can, do more time to planning what to do for your farming. So, basically, you instead of holding one person sitting on the driver's seat, we can release the person, and even we can let this person operate multiple machinery in one field. Like we all talk about a fleet of autonomous tractors can work in a field. So I guess, why we need to remove that driver. I know people live enjoy driving, but it's still, in some case, you have to sit in there too long. Think about if you do a planting over day and night, that still cause a lot of challenge for your health, safety, for human, how for farmer, how they improve their well-being. Use the autonomous system will release this kind of pressure. Sensor will tell you when you need to do action, and the artificial intelligence will take care of the farm machinery, just mimic the human driver. So we can release that person from sitting there. They can enjoy more of their personal life.
And you get to the labor issue. That is a big issue, and the wearing of the brain when you do sit for hundreds of acres a day, because sometimes you can cover that. All right, so my understanding, the Monarch MK5 or the MKV is behind you. We're going to get to tour that in just a minute, but this is the first autonomous electric tractor available. We've kind of danced a little bit around the whole electric side of thing. What's the benefits of the electric tractor then?
So the electric tractor, compared to diesel tractor, the first thing is, it uses green energy rather than diesel. You have the greenhouse gas emission. This is more greener, so you can charge it with, for example, solar panels, the windmills, so to generate the green energy. The second part I'm enjoy is it has the less noise. So when I drive it, it's more quiet, and you don't have too much vibration like the traditional small scale tractor like this. And you can allow this machine working indoor environment. For example, working with animals, they more enjoy this quiet machine, more friendly. And the third part of this, battery, we are allowed to use this as a power source for a lot of electronic device in field. For example, for me to do my research, I use this tractor as a battery bank, so they can charge my drone, they can charge all my equipment, and even we do some electrical activity in a farm that's away from the grid. That will be benefit for the farming.
How long does this battery last? I mean, you mentioned it can power a lot of things in addition to the machine, but are we having to pull over and plug in every 8 hours, 12 hours?
Yes, so the battery has a limitation, just like any electrical device. That's one of the challenges, even for the car. So this machine typically can last. It depends on the workload you have. If it's just running there, it may last, you know, 8 to 8 hours, for example. If you do a tillage, maybe 4 to 6 hours. It really depends on what kind of implement you put on it, what kind of work it's doing. So
yes, I'm sitting here thinking about when you were talking, I'm like, well, let's see, I'm thinking about the drone that flies and that can only do so much, or the other, it needs power, and or my phone needs that. All right. I've held off long enough. I want to tour this thing. And so if you're watching this on YouTube, forgive us a little bit, but we're going to take a tour of this machine. Give us a tour here, Dr. Zhu. What do we have?
So if you look at the camera, look at the tractor. Here is looking down this part. This is the whole battery. It says lithium ion technology built in. So this is a big battery. It's very heavy. That's the most of the weight of the tractor is a whole slide of this battery part. So that's a power source, replace the engine of the diesel engine, whatever engine. So this is a middle scale tractor, just like any other tractor. Look at the tire, it's similar. And you know, if there's no difference in the driving part, so this is all electrical motor, of course, compared to you know, other engine system to how they make the drive. This is a four-wheel tractor. I want you to take a look of this part, the back of this tractor. You can look, this is a hydraulic system. Like any, you know, tractor we use on a farm. So it has all kind of, you know, connectors for your hydraulic, you know, implement. And there is a three point hinge. You can hold all kind of device attachment. It depends on what you need.
And you know, I see a PTO shaft in there too, right?
Exactly. So there is a PTO shaft. It just work as a category one or category two implement. So you can attach any of those as long as you are not over the payload, you know, of the tractor. So it has a limitation of the power compared to the traditional tractor, but you know, with the technology going on, this potentially be solved. You know, you can use more battery and more power in the future. But you know, this is the typical setup of a electrical tractor to make it smaller, so it's easy to control. And if you want to use a larger field, this can be you know, a fleet of tractor working together. So that's some of the, you know, in the future, how you can make this work in a larger field more efficiently. The most of technology is on the roof. If you look at the roof, actually there's a computer integrated inside the roof. And here is all different cameras. We can see there's one camera, there's all lights. Here are some cameras. It's called the 3D cameras. So basically all there are six cameras on the roof, and there's a supercomputer on the roof too. There's the feature, you know, it's just like other tractor. You can see there is a handle. You can adjust the PTO. You can adjust the three-point hinge. There's the emergency stop. And, you know, like I mentioned, here is some outlet of your power. So you can use it in the field if you want to get a 110 or 220, you know, outlets of power. So that's this tractor can provide those as a power source. So that's a charger point. It's just like any tractor. You use any Tesla charger. It's a similar technology they are using. So I'm climbing up the tractor. So we'll see over the screen. I'm not sure you can see it or not.
I can see the monitor there, yep.
Yeah, so that's the screen. So if you get your password, you are able to see that's a driving mode. So it's just like any computer. You just press the start button and the tractor will be on. So it shows
the map. Did you just turn it on?
Yeah, I
Yeah,
did.
hardly any noise.
Yeah, that's right. So the noise is from it's charging the hydraulic pump. So you start charging, so it's getting ready to use. You can see a lot of smart feature. You can see all the connectivity, cellular, Wi-Fi, GPS, and radio. It will connect to the it's called a station. Basically, you allow you to record all the images. So
Let's
all
see,
the
we've lost a little bit of your screen there. Can you show us a little bit of your
Oh,
touch
okay.
screen again there? There we go. Now that's
Oh,
one of those
sorry.
cameras.
Can you see it?
Yep, now I can see
Yeah,
it.
I just touch all different cameras. This is a implement. So if I have something that's attached, you can see that. When you back the, you can see the back camera. It's a side camera. This is the right side, and it is the front. So the camera itself is not only just show the image, it's used for safety feature. For example, the camera detect anybody in front, it will stop automatically. If like this setup, I cannot drive the tractor because there is objects in front of the tractor. It's not allow you to drive forward. If I see somebody on my side too close to the tractor, it will stop. And if I see something like the attachment is missing, it will stop. There's a lot of a smart feature. It's just based on those cameras, and all those this camera used to generate it called a 3D perception map. Basically, it's a 3D map. You can see everything around you and allow you to make it. When you're driving, it kind of serve as additional eyes looking around. If there's something happening, it will stop. And you can adjust this. You don't need a you don't need to really climb up this truck to do this setup. I can just use my cell phone to do this same setup. I can add a different implement. I can see where is my tractor. And in the future, if I farming, I know, some field, like, we did some tests last week. We can see the map is generated. Some work is being done in the past. And then you can create a map, like just like your drone. You fly the drone. This tractor also allow you to design the path. So when you farming, you don't need to go there, drive the tractor. You just plan it through your app, that the tractor can go there automatically.
Now I want to make sure when I'm driving here, I can manually override to drive. So if I wanted to, right now I know you talked about the sensor that it picks up that tripod in the front. Say you move the tripod, would your machine be able? Would you have to? How do you program it to get out of your parking lot there, and move? Because that always to me is like what the human can do. Is this thing best set up to work in the much bigger, wide open space, or can it also work real well in those tight spaces?
That is a good question we need to figure out. And for example, in this very tight environment, I'm not sure it will work or not, because for example, those objects already in front of it is within its safety range. It will not drive at all.
Sure.
So we probably need to plan a little bit. It's more working better on farm rather than in this environment.
Okay.
But we need to look into it. This is still new to me. I need to explore more function of this chapter.
So let's see you again there, doctor.
Yeah.
Handsome man. Well, we gotta have a little
Yeah,
more
thank
chat.
you.
It looks like you have a green machine back there. So what other research do you look to compare? I mean, what do you think that what's the goal of this research right now?
So we have different research. One, like I mentioned, our student capstone project, they want to compare this electrical autonomous tractor with a diesel tractor, similar size, how they can work in, row crop setup. For example, to do some tillage, they want to understand the energy consumption, the hours they put, how much saving they can have, the investment of return. So those kind of research we want to do, to understand how this can be used in Missouri farming or mm-hmm. Midwest farming system.
Yeah.
And of course, we also want to understand, you know, how this can be used in animal production. You know, we also want to learn this autonomous feature, how they can make it smart. Like I mentioned, there are several cameras. Those cameras are able to see the plant, for example. Are they able to detect the disease on the plant? Are they able to, you know, tell, do I need, you know, different chemical to spray on the plant to, you know, for the pest control? Those kind of features we are looking for.
Okay. Well, I've got you, speaking of the future, I've got you covering up the camera with your hand there. Got to get you to move.
Okay.
I can only kind of see you there.
Oh, sorry.
There we go. We got you on that side. I mean, it's a good profile and all there, doctor. Okay. So you talk about improving things. One thing mm-hmm. I had read about the tractor, the smaller tractor. I mean, we see these incredibly large implements now that are in the field.
Mm-hmm.
Is this something where we're going to need 2 to 3 of this size tractor to get something done that could be done by a large machine? And is that going to be a cost prohibitive for some things, or is it going to be beneficial because we're not putting the weight in the field? What do you help me out understanding the size of this machine and what it's going to have to ramp up to be?
Yes, that's a good question. We really have some concern if you compare to those larger machines. You know, a lot of things they cannot do that quick as a larger machine. So no one tests that. Again, we are just imagine this can be done. But, you know, that's one of the goal of we doing research to find out, you know, costly, is this effective compared to a larger machine? We don't know yet, but you know, we anticipate this will work good for small or middle-sized farmer. Those farmers, I would say, they are keen to looking for new technology. So this is the kind of new technology that we would like to test. Compared to the, you know, 10,000 acres farming, I'm not sure yet. Sorry.
No, that's fine. And that's I think, those questions that are being asked, and that's what you're going to hopefully get to. Let's go to one of the very first things you said. I asked you as a little boy growing up, what did you envision? This, you kind of said science fiction. To me, it's science fiction to have an autonomous uh-huh. tractor driving. Give me a map, 5 years, 10 years. How science fiction is agriculture going to look?
Okay, so that's a lot of, if you heard, there's a lot of initiative over the nation. University are trying to put a lot of research effort in developing called the, you know, farm of the future. A lot of people also call it smart farming. So it's more sustainable, and it's more effective, efficient, and you are climate smart. So in the five to 10 years, I would see, you know, the farmer will turn to more smart. So you don't need to go to field to do eye scouting. All the sensors, for example, drones, tractor with a sensor can help to detect the plant status, what action they need to do, they can do autonomously. You know, I can see more automation system will be implemented in the field, and you know, farmer will manage it easily, and they don't need to make a decision by themselves, but the artificial intelligence system will help this.
Oh,
okay. We'll see a lot of drone flying, you know, autonomous tractor running. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, and, you know, and I've done interviews on this podcast before talking to the drones that fly, and you kind of mentioned the scouting of the weed. I mean, they're doing that, or they're distributing fertilizer or chemical via the air, and it's a field of drones that are all about. So, yeah, I think science fiction is going to be real here soon, and I look forward to seeing what you come up with there in Colombia.
Yes, yes, that's right. So we, you know, in the University of Missouri, we also establishing a we call the Digital Ag Research and Extension Center. We're going to integrate all kinds of commercially available technology and the future technology. You know, we will push hard in some of the research farm we're going to implement some of this new technology, test the feasibility, and document their benefit to the future farmers.
All right. Dr. Zhu, thank you so much for your time for the tour. And I suppose I got to let you get back to class. Thank you.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
My thanks to Dr. Jean-Fon Zhu from the University of Missouri. Sorry, it was just so easy. I even said, so Zhu like Mizzou? Yes. New episodes each and every Tuesday. Available on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Paul Yeager. Thank you so very much for making this a part of your day. We'll see you next time.